Let's go ahead and do 1 to 14.
Afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness." And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go." So they said, "The God of the Hebrews has met with us. Please let us go 3 days' journey into the desert and sacrifice to the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword." Then the king of Egypt said to them, "Moses and Aaron, why do you take the people from their work? Get back to your labor." And Pharaoh said, "Look, the people of the land are many now. Can you make them rest from their labor?" So the same day Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, "You shall no longer give the people straw to make bricks as before. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. And you shall lay on them the quota of bricks which they made before. You shall not reduce it, for they are idle. Therefore they cry out, saying, 'Let us go and sacrifice to our God.' Let more work be laid on the men, that they may labor in it. And let them not regard false works."
Yes.
"And the taskmasters of the people and their officers went out and spoke to the people, saying, 'Thus says Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Go, get yourself straw where you can find it. Yet none of your work will be reduced.' So the people were scattered abroad throughout all the land of Egypt to gather stubble instead of straw. And the taskmasters forced them to hurry, saying, 'Fulfill your work, your daily quota, as when there was straw.' Also the officers of the children of Israel, whom Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten and were asked, 'Why have you not fulfilled your task in making bread both yesterday and today as before?'"
Okay, so first Moses and Aaron were to go to the elders of Israel. They did that. Now who did they go to?
Pharaoh.
And what did they ask him? Yeah, can we go celebrate a feast in the wilderness? They ask him something relatively small to begin with, and what does Pharaoh say?
"Who's the Lord?"
Yeah. "Who's the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I don't know the Lord. Besides, I'll not let Israel go." And he's very disdainful of the whole idea. "Is this Jehovah you're telling me I'm supposed to let you go into the wilderness to worship? I don't know anything about him." That was probably not the right thing for Pharaoh to ask. When he said, "Who is the Lord?" he asked the wrong question. But the Lord is quite willing to answer it for him. I want you to notice 7:17. "When the water turns to blood, by this you shall know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will strike the water that's in the Nile with the staff that's in my hand, and it will be turned to blood. 8:10, when the frogs are going to leave, then he said tomorrow, so he said, 'May it be done according to your word, that you may know that there is no one like the Lord our God.' 8:22, with the insects, 'But on that day I will set apart the land of Goshen where my people are living, so that no swarms of insects will be there, in order that you may know that I, the Lord, am in the midst of the land.' 9:14, with the boils, 'For this time I will send all my plagues on you and on your servants and your people, so that you may know that there is no one like me in all the earth.' 9:29, Moses said to him, 'As soon as I go out of the city, I will spread out my hands to the Lord. The thunder will cease and there will be hail no longer, that you may know that the earth is the Lord's.' 10:2, that you may tell in the hearing of your son and your grandson how I made a mockery of the Egyptians, how I performed my signs among them, that you may know that I am the Lord. 11:7, but again, against any of the sons of Israel, a dog will not even bark, whether against man or beast, that you may understand how the Lord makes a distinction between Egypt and Israel." And there's a few more references like that. The Lord took up that challenge. He said, "Who is the Lord?" And the Lord signed him up for a 10-lesson course in that. He says, I will not let Israel go. And he decided to make things difficult. They say God met with us. We need to go a 3 days journey into the wilderness to sacrifice. But Pharaoh says, verse 4, Moses and Aaron, why do you draw the people away from their work? Get back to your labors. And what does Pharaoh decide about this people? They're lazy. They've got too much time on their hands. If they've got time to concoct this notion of going 3 days journey in the wilderness to worship God. And so, what does Pharaoh tell the taskmasters? Taskmasters and their foremen. Exactly. He's going to want the same quota, but he doesn't supply the straw. So it's going to make their workload much more severe. How was their workload already? Severe. So you make them do even another step, and a difficult one. This is too much. What was Pharaoh really trying to do? Yes, trying to kind of bring them down and trying to do what else?
Turn them against Moses.
That's exactly right. He's trying to drive a wedge between Moses and Aaron and the people. He's trying to sort of, stomp out their spirit, their resilience. You know, he says, you're lazy, that's why you're wanting to go and sacrifice. And so he's making the work more difficult. So here we have Moses and Aaron, they've come back to deliver the people from Egyptian bondage, and how is that working out? Made it worse! There are times that we start trying to do the right thing, and it makes things worse! Think about Joseph in Egypt. How did it work for him when he resisted Mrs. Potiphar? Say it again. Yeah, absolutely. Did not work well at all. The difficulties increased. Satan doesn't want to lose, not even one slave. So when we start to leave him, he's going to make it difficult. So we're seeing in the life of Moses and in this mission that you start trying to do the right thing, and often it seems like it's blowing up in your face and it's not working. That really tests your resolve. Are you willing to do the right thing even when it doesn't work right? Really a tough situation for them, and really difficult for them. Because now they've got to scour the land for straw and stubble and anything they can use to put in these bricks. Evidently, the straw sort of was kind of like, you know how they put those kind of, I don't know what are they, kind of iron rods in concrete to make them stronger. I think the straw kind of reinforced and kind of bound the bricks together. But Pharaoh says, won't get you any straw, you've got to find it and make the same amount of bricks. And notice verse 10. Thus says Pharaoh. That remind you of anything? Pharaoh's kind of trying to act like he's the Lord right here. Thus says Pharaoh. Here's who you need to serve. Don't serve God out in the wilderness. You serve me. Well, who ends up bearing the brunt of the abuse? Yes. What you've got are some Israelite foremen that are actually over the people in the brick making process. So they're the guys that get beat when the quotas aren't met. And it's just this pretty tough situation, pretty intolerable situation when it's all said and done for the people of God. Comments and questions?
Okay. In 5:5, it seems like after all these years, he's still worried about their numbers, too. It seems like he's saying, you know, there's a lot of people, so we got to keep them hard at it. Kind of, you know.
You just don't want to let them have any wiggle room or who knows what might happen or how hard they'd be to control. I think you're right. Yeah, Kelly.
Yeah, go back to the obedient thing you were saying about Moses. It's like Pharaoh here. I mean, God doesn't ask much of him. Go 3 days in the journey. It's later because of his disobedience that God rips him entirely from his hand.
Yeah, good point. Yes, James.
In verse 3, he says, lest he fall on the pestilence or the sword. Is he saying that if we don't go sacrifice the Lord, the Lord's going to fall on us? Or is he saying
yes. Yeah.
Why would he say that?
Well, I mean, this is his orders for Israel. And so if Israel doesn't obey, then God will punish them. Yeah.
Reminds me when God gets 10 tribes from Rehoboam because he does the same thing. Tries to require more work from the children of Israel. But also, this is hurting Pharaoh's pocketbook as well. 3 days gone, then however long the feast is, and then 3 days back. I mean, that's taking money and bricks away from whatever his. I mean, this isn't just a, hey, let these other people that don't have any consequences on you, let us go for a couple of days. I mean, this is hitting him where it's something that he cares about.
Excellent point. Yeah. Very good. So you've got the beginning of this, but the beginning looks really bad. You know, Moses and Aaron are doing now what God says, and Pharaoh is not responding well. Things are looking bleaker. The workload has gotten to an intolerable state. And just how much good have Moses and Aaron done in the deliverance? So often with the Lord, he acts right after the last possible moment. You know, when things look like it's just over, there's no hope, that's when God often likes to act. And we'll see that happening over these next couple of chapters. So we're going to sing a little bit and then take a break. So Michael, we'll...